You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about sedentary death syndrome, how movement can help treat 33 chronic diseases and help us live longer.
Wow.
So there's studies out that now inactivity as an important factor, it talks about how smoking and poor food and other things have always been factors in disease, but inactivity now is also an important factor. And I think it's like now it's an important factor. It's always been an important factor. But more and more studies have been done looking at the long-term implication of the sedentary lifestyle that we live today. And why and how? How did we get here?
Because everything is automatic.
Everything's automatic. Let's go back to evolution. So millions of years ago, humans have been evolving for years. 10 years, a million years, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But it's always been survival of the fittest. So years and years and years ago, humans would have to get up daily and they'd have to go foraging for food or hunting or gathering, doing something physical to survive. And it was always a give and take on, do I eat enough to get the energy
to go ahead?
To go ahead and continue to do that. Like, yeah. If I'm foraging for berries, I'm expending energy to do that. Mm-hmm. And as I go and grab more berries, I'm continuing to use my energy. Mm-hmm. So the human then balances, how many berries do I eat? Something happened because of this, which is humans developed when there was like a big bush with lots of berries and they could eat a lot. They developed the ability to store that extra energy as fat. But if they had too much fat, it hindered their ability to go out and wander and get food, so they would start losing that weight again, and they would, you know, so it was like a balancing act.
A balance, yeah.
You would not get too heavy, and you would always have to have daily activity for hunting, gathering, stealing. Maybe you were going to go and steal food from the neighboring tribe.
Yeah, so that people, your mind has to be aware, because maybe it's attacked with other animal. Mm. You need to be more... Really, right now, we live in the street that, you know, thinking about that. You are automatic. Yeah.
That you always had to be connected to your body and your environment. And as part of that is that we were really aware of our physical self.
Yeah.
And our surroundings. Today, we walk down the street.
Yeah, we saw that.
Know, or actually, we don't even walk. We sit and do this
and sit
all day
in the
long.
Car and drive it like that.
Oh my,
and,
oh my.
And I have my own experience, you know, where I come from, when the country is so dangerous, so we cannot have the phone. We live on the street, and you need to watch out around. If you hear a motorcycle, you need to jump into the other street.
Oh, yeah.
And then you live in that right now in the United States, you know, do this. So you can be in some area, can walk.
Some
and
areas not, you do. But
you can be relaxing, but then you lose the capacity to be aware. Sometimes I acting like this when I... Last week I was in New York, so I feel like I have to pay attention because looks like my own country.
otherwise, we lose our own self protection.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So millions of years ago, or thousands, or hundreds of years ago, maybe only hundreds of years ago, we had to worry about predators. Where people today still live in those areas around the world where they might be near a jungle or be near a forest, and where there are wolves and where there are tigers and where there are bears. And if they lost the sense of the environment and surroundings,
that's it.
So part of being active was to be able to outrun predators and to capture and run after prey. You're chasing a bunny through the forest and the woods, or you trapped something, or you had to climb into a lake or climb into a lake, go into a river to try to fish. And it was very active. And you see the people around the world who are still in those active types of communities.
And also for the basic instinct, I'm talking about here. So if you are in the forest or you hunting, you need to listen the animal. You need to listen the creaker, the stuff. And you right now, people also in the street have a headphone, you know, and pass almost all day disconnecting to the real sound.
So you listen to heavy metal.
Yeah, and your mind chopped down. So you know, you start to lose the capacity to see and listen some kind of the noise around your...
Have you been to a concert recently?
No.
So I remember growing up and even recently going to heavy rock concert. Mm-hmm. And it is so loud. And imagine damaging your ears that much and then having to go out into the woods and listen for... Is that something creeping up on me? I'm like, I don't hear a thing. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And the tiger.
Yeah.
You disappear.
So maybe the tigers and the bears and the wolves are all saying, let's make humans listen to this really loud music.
They promote the music.
So you're saying promoters, music promoters are nothing more than wild animals.
As a behind the conspiracy.
Conspiracy here on 90 Day Soulmate. So we are looking at then some of the reasons that in the past we weren't as sedentary. We weren't sitting around all day. We weren't, and we'll go into more of that. What else do we have on that? So there, and going back into today, there's like what is the tribe called? It's a Hadza tribe in Africa. They average 5 to 10 miles of walking a day. So the current people who are like we have been in our, quote, history, the people who still live that way in their environment because they're able to, or they don't want to change or they don't have the ability to change, they walk 5 to 10 miles a day. Do you know that there's no type 2 diabetes?
Yeah.
There's no obesity?
Yeah.
Why?
Active.
Yeah, they're active. Yeah. They have to be active.
Yeah.
Survive.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to the 1900s, how many percent of people had physical activity as jobs? 80% plus.
Yeah.
We were also talking about the average income of a family back then in the 1900s.
Yeah.
In today's dollars would be if we had a net income of $3,000 a year, living in a small apartment, trying to survive on a little bit of food, and doing physical activity for 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and potentially from the age of 11. You know, so it's,
but they keep healthy because they don't have money to pay the hospital, so
they have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Now, they were also working in very poor conditions, so let's not get that wrong and saying, that's what we want to do. We want to work 10, 12, 14.
So many contamination. So, they don't know about the contamination with a chemical in the past, you know.
So chemical, smoke, maybe not the access to food. So today we say, oh, we don't want to smoke because it's bad for us. We're going to want to have better food because it's good for us. But this third piece, this sedentary, this inactivity.
That is strong. And that is also thinking in many jobs right now is working from home, so remotely from the computer. So how you can change that? So I guess the human need to use more brain versus the physical, but you need to do something with your physical.
Oh, and when we talk about physical, and we'll talk about it later, and how being physical actually helps your brain. So you're sitting at home and not going to work and not being physically active, and you think, oh, I'm using my brain all day. Well, your brain can be much stronger with some additional exercise, physical activity.
Yeah.
So you have a smartwatch, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah, I have.
And it like, oh, it says stand up now.
Mm-hmm.
I finally was like going, oh, now I get why it's telling me this, is that it's actually telling me for my own good, hey, you should be standing up every 30 minutes. That was one of the recommendations that are in here, is that don't sit all day, that every 30 minutes you should get up. That sitting, every 2 hours of sitting increases your chance of, and if I'll get to this study later, it was either chance of cancer, chance of obesity, diabetes was like 7% higher for every 2 hours that you sat. So if you sat for 4 hours a day, it was 14% higher. If you sat for 6 hours a day, it was 21% higher. Chance of death by some disease that was caused by not moving.
Yeah. But I see something interesting in the last audit they did. The company has some program with the insurance company. So the person talking about the participating in marathon.
Okay.
And also if they're running with the watch stuff, they have reduction $20 per month in insurance payment. So if they demonstrate the apply to the marathon and use the watch to control.
Okay.
So they every month they tracking the movement, and then they have a $20. Is a $20 less every month? It's not bad.
So we have,
and be active.
We have a $500 reduction in the year in the employee contribution to their health care if you are not smoking and you do your wellness checkup.
Okay.
So if those two things, you do this and you do this, and we'll reduce the cost. Because the insurance company, guess what? They're only going to reduce your cost if it saves them even more.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, they save us $500. They're probably saving $10,000. Who knows, right?
But I know, so it's motivation because this is just check-in. But they promote that you need to walk every day and show the data in your watch and participate in marathon. That is nice.
The marathon.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 26 miles. Oh, how about feast and famine? So humans were made for feast and famine. So if there was plentiful, you know, the herd just came in or they went fishing and they got a whole bunch of fish, they were set up that, okay, if they could store some animals, store some fish and learn how to do that, they maybe could save food. But before that, they ate as much as they could and the body would try to save fat in order for them to make it through to the next time when they had food. But again, it was up and down, up and down, up and down. It was a buffer. It was like a gas tank.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a whole truck of gas behind you, which today we have. We keep storing energy for that time there's going to be famine and there's no famine. Our body thinks, oh, I have abundance of food. I'll store it as fat because that's what we're made to do. But if we don't have those times of famine, where like people do now, what is that?
They fast. And this is the contradiction topic, you know? Mm. Some people recommend do fast because your body burns. And the body can become also stored and stocking. And I remember it myself, years ago, I have a gastritis, and the doctor said, you need to eat 5 times per day. And he said, oh my God, I become fat, more fat. And then I did, and I lose weight. And I was surprised because he said, you never have to fill your stomach empty. And I remember I always have some crackers or some peanuts and stuff. So every time they said you feel empty, you feed him. And I did, and I lose weight. So
the body just said, oh, I don't need to store any of this because I keep having food.
Because having food, exactly. So there's so many theories. Yeah, everybody's different, so we cannot have the perfect recipe.
So many recommendations.
Yeah.
So by the way, they call this the thrifty gene. There's like a gene that says, store fat because I need to be thrifty. We want to store this for when we need it later. Be thrifty. How about beast, fish, plant, and fruit? Mm-hmm. That we're also made to eat all these things, right? We have hands, we have feet. We're made to climb trees. We can get fruit up above. We can dig down in the soil and get vegetables. We can go hunt because we're smart enough to figure out how to do that and overpower an animal. Mm-hmm. We learned how to fish. That the human being is made to eat everything, like omnivore,
and chocolate.
To survive. And chocolate. Perfect, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So finding enough berries could mean hiking for hours back in those days, right? So it's like we talked about that before. We need to find enough food. Now, this was interesting. Do we keep walking until we can find enough food that we push the food intake a little bit higher than what our needs are?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we keep eating until we walk enough to kind of burn off what we're eating. It's like back and forth. It's we I believe in the past never went out of the way to be a glutton all day, eat so much, you know, overeat every day, because we couldn't. We couldn't really outpace the environment. If there was a herd of deer, you could only hunt so much.
Yeah, but again, it's everybody. Everybody is different, and also can be family. You see my family. So you see my brother, my mama. They eating more than me, and it's so skinny. So it's something that is not a perfect recipe for one person.
Ah, here's the perfect recipe, though. Uh-huh. Actually, it's not the perfect recipe. Studies of ancient people show that they had diets high in protein and high in fiber, unlike today, where we're high in fats and sugars
and, sugar,
and salts,
yeah,
and artificial stuff. You know, we substitute one thing for another. They were eating stuff from the land. They weren't eating stuff that was meant to preserve the food that we eat today.
Yeah, yeah.
If bacteria won't eat the food because it's got a preservative in it, and our stomach has bacteria, and we eat food with these preservatives, why would the bacteria in the stomach say, hey, this is great, and give us two thumbs up?
And I see the difference also in vegetables. So some vegetable in the past, like they say maybe 5 years ago,
right.
I bought like the arugula, and 3 day arugula died. Now I have 2 weeks arugula in my refrigerator, and it's beautiful. What happened? Why the arugula has changed?
Well, a couple of things I believe is sometimes they raise and they breed. They use hybrids of vegetables and things to give them the most length of being ripe so they can ship them from here and there.
And something that we don't know.
Some prey,
the people say in the grass, say, hey, stay longer.
Well, let's get back into this when we come back on more 90 Day Soulmate on the sedentary lifestyle and how that is the cause of many diseases that would be otherwise preventable with exercise. We'll be right back.
In moments of gratitude, we notice the beauty in every detail, the smiles, the shining eyes, the teamwork, perseverance, and effort. These are the building blocks of the incredible mission Ayudaven supports. We've witnessed girls who joined the home as babies grow into confident professionals, certified in their passions and contributing to society in meaningful ways. Three inspiring stories from Ayudaven. Angela, who came to Muchos Manos at 3 months of age. She will graduate as a food and beverage manager with plans to open her own bakery. Maria, who joined Muchos Manos at the age of 9. Today she's in her second year of dentistry. And Mercedes, who came to the home at the age of 12. Now a dentist graduate, she works at one of Valencia, Venezuela's top dental centers. Make a donation today via Zelle at gym@ayudaven.org and celebrate the rhythm of hope, purpose, and unity that connects us all together.
Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Welcome back to the sedentary lifestyle and how it's killing us. On 90 Day Soulmate, as humans, we're made to survive in vast differences in temperature, from cold to heat, rain, sun, that we're, you know, our skin is impervious to rain, otherwise we get waterlogged. But we're made to go through weather changes. In the past, we would walk miles in a rainstorm. We'd go in the snow, you know, or well, we'd have beards, not you, but we...
Sometimes.
Some of us would have beards, or we'd give you a little fur coat to put
and
over
shave
your head.
Every morning.
Shave. But the point is that we are made to be resilient in weather extremes. And today we live between 60 and 80 degrees in air-conditioned homes, air-conditioned offices, air-conditioned cars.
Jacket.
And we run quickly from the car to the office, from the car to the home, from the car. Even our gyms are air-conditioned.
Yes.
Oh, when we work out, we don't want to be uncomfortable. right? So
with the fan.
With the fan and the air conditioning and all that. So a new thing, a new fad, maybe it's been around for a while, the ice plunge, you know, where people go into an ice bath.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to have all these benefits because it's allowing our body to be resilient. It's testing the extremes of our body. Our body chemistries react positively to this. Why is this? Because we're made to be able to handle these extremes, but we live within such a safe little tiny box of our environment that we lose that resiliency.
And you lose the flexibility. I start to study because I have a test about resilience, and they say the figure of resilience is like the rover, you know? So it's the capacity you can be strained and go back to the same. This is almost the same concept.
Yeah, and let's continue on with this as you have the ice bath, but let's talk about exercise. Exercise gets your heart rate going. It pumps the blood through your system. It creates flexibility in your arteries. It moves your muscles and your arms. You get that sense of balance. That exercise helps us with our low heart rate, high heart rate. A lot of blood flow, lower blood flow. Mm-hmm. Overall, it lowers our blood pressure. Yeah. It reduces our heart rate because we become more efficient. Just like the cold plunge, that when we push our bodies into these, I'll call them extremes, and for an ice plunge, that seems to be an extreme, but a good hard workout creates a stretch in one direction or another. The muscle gets stronger, right?
Yeah.
And when that happens, we get stronger. And we talked about, and we'll talk about later, is how the muscles fight tumors and cancer cells for glucose.
And also the osteoporosis. So the best medicine for that is the weight, because your own body have the capacity to create the chemical that you need, not necessarily eating the chemical that you need.
Right. The body will create. When you exercise, the body produces a few things, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about it produces
serotonin,
dopamine, and something we learned today, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Okay. It is a chemical. It's a protein that is put into your brain that helps in neuroplasticity. It helps in the growth of your brain. It helps protect your neurons. This happens during exercise. So we have other studies that we're going to talk about, which talk about how trauma, past childhood trauma, and PTSD, studies have shown that exercise as part of the regimen with therapy and perhaps anxiety-reducing medicine can benefit trauma patients more than therapy alone.
Yeah.
Exercise is an added benefit. Again, it releases dopamine, serotonin, helping us feel better, sleep better, and brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which are these proteins that help our brains in growth and strength and protecting our neurons. And if we're working on new ways of behaving, if we're working on new activities, if we're learning new ways to approach situations, it will help grow those areas of the brain while diminishing the impact of those trauma centers. It's
a lot of benefits. Yeah.
Studies show. I'm not stating this. I'm telling you what the studies are showing.
Because we need to keep
published,
moving.
Published psychological research that has been peer-reviewed. Not my opinion. It's our summary of what's out there. So how did we become a sitting species?
After the computer.
Computers.
Computer create that. Technology create that.
So they talked about that 90% of people, and I think we said greater than 80, but it was 90% of people had physical jobs back in the 1900s. Mm. Today, 80% of people have sitting jobs.
Yeah.
And as you sit and sit longer, the health impacts become worse and worse. 10,000 years ago, people started farming instead of hunting and gathering.
Mm-hmm.
This created a food supply right in the local neighborhood. So they didn't have to go out in the woods as much. They didn't have to go foraging miles from home. They didn't have to go 5 to 10 miles away every day, walking around trying to find food to eat. So having the farm created the opportunity to do less walking. Still, though, if you've ever done farming or been around a farm, there's a lot of physical activity. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of brain activity, too, trying to figure out how to keep the animals alive, how to feed them, how to make sure the plants are growing, what happens when there is too much, a drought, too much sun and not enough water. That there's still a lot of activity. So even with farming, people were still much more active than today.
Yeah.
So 9 out of 10 people in 1900 had physical jobs. Today, 80% of people do not. They have sedentary jobs. Urban living in cities, one, where maybe you don't want to go walk on the street. Maybe there is not a park nearby. Maybe you can't do the physical activity. Maybe it's unsafe to do the physical activity. Maybe there's no, like, I don't have a reason to do the physical activity. If I want to go to the store, it's 6 miles away. I got to drive. It's not a mile away and I walk.
And also in some areas in here in the United States, you don't have the walking area
no path.
So you need to have a car, and it's so dangerous that you're walking in the grass or in some area. Yeah.
So when we spend time in different countries, and like let's talk about Europe, you can talk about Greece, you can talk about Italy, Germany, Spain, is that there's a lot more walking that goes on. People live in small towns all over the place. There's a lot of small towns, and people will go, I'm just going to walk to the store and I'm going to go get today's food. The refrigerators, I was so surprised, they're small.
Why?
They're like
because
this big.
Every day they go by what it needs to eat and doing, so it's not like that you have all food for 50 days in
what
your refrigerator.
What happens when you buy a loaf of bread? You have to eat it because 2 days later it's stale. There's no preservative. It was baked fresh that morning. Yeah. By the next day, you have to dip it in coffee because it's become hard.
Yeah. And this is the natural behavior of the bread.
So I walk every day and I get a loaf of bread. I have my food for that day and the bread's gone. I buy some lettuce and vegetables. That's what I have that day. They're not storing them in the refrigerator for 3 weeks.
And looks beautiful.
Yeah. Here we buy some arugula, and it's in a little plastic container. It's in the refrigerator. We go away. We come back. We forget it's there.
And the arugula is like that in the refrigerator. Wait.
Where have you been?
Oh, surprise.
Where have you been, big boy?
Yeah, I'm so fresh.
I'm so fresh.
Maybe I have to put arugula in my face.
That is great. So,
okay.
Yeah. Arugula, arugula. It's like the horn sound. It's like going, hey, where have you been?
No, go this way. Okay. All right.
In any case, the food stays fresh. At least it appears to stay fresh here. But what's keeping it fresh? The bread here, you know, I have this package of white bread or whole wheat bread, which is a whole different story. But you have that package of bread and it's so soft. A week from now, it's
and
so soft.
Sweet.
4 weeks from now, is there any mold on it yet?
No,
if there's no mold, I can still eat it. Well, wait a minute. If there's no mold on it after 4 weeks of being in an environment that's relatively humid, there's something wrong. That means the bacteria are not...
No bacteria. Is
no bacteria.
Zero bacteria.
Zero.
Bread. Yeah.
And then you eat it, and again, we talk about our stomach being 500 species of bacteria. You feed your bacteria, and they feed you. They break down the food into useful things for the human body. And if we're putting food that we can't digest into our body, we feel bloated. Yeah. We feel like, why do I feel strange? I have preservatives running around my whole body.
Yeah.
You know, and you dig up someone who's passed away 20 years later and nothing's happened.
Perfect.
They're still there. No bacteria.
Fresh like
fresh,
the arugula.
Like the arugula. Who knows? So when we talk about today's sedentary lifestyle, part of it is the food. Part of it's the activity.
And the condition, the life, because I understand people need to work in the computer because this is a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have some meeting, the people stand up, stand down, but this is not enough. So really you will stay minimum 6 hours, no moving, sitting, answering email, da-da-da. Supposing that you have a break, you take a coffee, sitting again, but this is not enough, this kind of break.
It is not. So we have studies later that talk about 15 minutes or 30 minutes of walking. And what does that do and how good that is for the human body? Let's talk about what other things that add to weight gain. We talk about desk jobs, right? Screen time.
Mm-hmm.
People have time to be on their computer after work for 3 hours, but they don't have 30 minutes for exercise. That was one that we saw. The environment. We talked about neighborhoods lacking parks or sidewalks. Time and money. Many feel they don't have the time or the money to join a gym. They have to work extra hours, so they don't have time to do the exercise. Life costs money. What else? Psychology. Many feel too tired or overwhelmed to do exercise. Not today, I'm tired. Not today, I'm depressed. The other thing is, I believe society encourages people to talk about how tough they have it in their life, rather than the other way around, is it is tough, but this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm succeeding. Let's be positive. Positivity. I bet you people who are positive have more chance of doing exercise, more chance of fighting these things that would otherwise not be fought without the exercise. Kids today, this was one. Kids today burn 600 calories less per day than kids did 50 years ago. 600 calories less per day.
Wow.
So if you are anyone who follows a diet, if my memory is correct, that 600 calories a day times 5 days is 3,000 calories. And what I was told years ago was 3,000 calories is a pound of fat, a pound of your body.
Wow.
And so
weekly.
Over a week, these kids are expending or are not using 600 calories a day, that's like gaining a pound a day until they gain so much weight that now they're so inefficient and their metabolism is so bad that now they reach an equilibrium. So put bad food with less calories and no exercise, and you can only begin to see why we're having such a problem with today's society. Right?
Amazing, yeah.
So 600 calories a day. So why do we need to change? Do we need to change? So being inactive is the leading cause of 33 otherwise preventable deaths. Not deaths, but types of. Let me try to read that again. Sitting is now a leading cause of preventable death. Smoking, eating poorly, doing other bad activities. Well, now sitting is a leading cause of 33 otherwise preventable deaths. Smoking once was like the number one, right, for these things. But we've said, don't smoke, secondhand smoke, firsthand smoke is not good for you.
Now no sitting longer.
Don't sit. And the other is we really haven't talked much about food. You hear food and you hear nutrition, but there's so much probably money in the industry, it still hasn't reached that level of we should really do something about our food and food supply. But that might be the next thing you hear. The World Health Organization says inactivity is the fourth biggest cause of early death worldwide, not just in the United States. So let's look at diseases where sitting is a contributing factor to the disease. Cancer.
Wow.
Contributing factor. So moving will help lower insulin and insulin-like growth factor, which is a hormone that feeds tumors if too high. So exercise will reduce something that would otherwise feed tumors. So that's one. Now, we also know that exercise reduces available glucose in the bloodstream, and the glucose feeds tumors. And the studies that we had on mice from a couple of weeks back were that those mice that exercised vigorously had 90% smaller tumors than those that didn't. So the sedentary mice, the ones who were on their keyboards all day playing with their humans. Is that what mice use to operate their computers?
Exactly.
That's what I think. That those that weren't exercising, their tumors were, that would be 10 times bigger, right? So if the others were 90% smaller, theirs were 10 times bigger.
Wow.
So the little tumors on the active mice and the big tumors on the inactive mice.
Inactive.
Strengthening the immune system will help destroy, will actually help your body seek out and destroy cancer-causing cells.
Mm-hmm.
So it will actually destroy cancer cells, so by helping that. What was the other thing here? How sitting hurts. More sitting time is linked to a higher rate of heart attack.
So we need to move.
We have to go now. But going back to cancer, it's linked to breast, colon, lung, and uterine cancer. Is the more you sit, the higher your chances of those are. And then also, watching TV for hours increases cancer death rates.
And I mentioned earlier with you about the when I was a child, the high data for people have heart attack is the truck driver.
Oh, yes.
In the past, when I was a child, because they spend many hours sitting, driving. And this is something maybe interesting to search, but the statistics show that this kind of profession is increase the heart attack.
So here's another interesting thing on that, on sitting. They equalized exercise. They said, okay, we're going to take a group of people that exercise this much and a group of people that exercise this much, the same amount. But one group sat more and the other one sat less. The ones that sat more still had a 13 to 15% higher chance of having cancer than the ones that sat less when exercise was equalized. Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of other factors involved, but this is a study that is to show that sitting in itself, just staying in a seat for a long time, creates a 13 to 15% higher chance of cancer. So we better get up right now.
Yeah, I feel.
That's why our show is only 45 minutes long, because that way we can get up really quickly.
To do exercise.
That is true. And what else do we have? Okay, here's some things on walking. We want to talk about walking. That a 15-minute walk after eating can lower sugar spikes by up to 30%. So it helps your whole body chemistry by you eat, you go for a 15-minute walk after dinner. A lot of people do that. And more people are doing that nowadays than ever before because they're learning about stuff like this. And one other thing that blew my mind.
So when you go to the restaurant, you're parking 15 minutes away. So you go to the restaurant, and when you're coming back, you do your exercise.
There you go.
That's a good practice.
Here's one other. A 30-minute brisk walk daily reduces heart disease risk by 50%. That's huge.
Yeah.
30 minutes of walking, reduction of heart disease risk by 50%. It's amazing. So cardiovascular disease is another disease, much of which can be preventable by not being sedentary, by moving, by not being inactive.
I believe walking is not so difficult. I sometimes people say it's difficult to go to the gym or it's difficult to run, but walk is something I guess is more easy to do.
Yeah, we talked earlier about osteoporosis, which you brought up and I completely skipped over, but I want to go back to that. Is that our bone strength is directly proportional to our weight-bearing exercise regime. You know, that if we are doing weight-bearing exercise, we can keep our bone strength longer. So you'll see now a trend towards 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old people being on social media, showing them lifting heavy weights, deadlifting, maybe squat, doing pull-ups, doing stuff with heavy weights. Not doing aerobic activity, meaning people do that, but the trend is, based upon recent studies, is weight-bearing exercise for muscle and bone, and then seeing that 50, 60, 70-year-olds are improving dramatically their health.
Yeah.
Oh, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the sedentary death syndrome on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
In moments of gratitude, we notice the beauty in every detail, the smiles, the shining eyes, the teamwork, perseverance, and effort. These are the building blocks of the incredible mission AyutaVen supports. We've witnessed girls who joined the home as babies grow into confident professionals, certified in their passions and contributing to society in meaningful ways. Three inspiring stories from AyutaVen. Angela, who came to Muchos Manos at 3 months of age. She will graduate as a food and beverage manager with plans to open her own bakery. Maria, who joined Muchos Manos at the age of 9. Today she's in her second year of dentistry. And Mercedes, who came to the home at the age of 12. Now a dentist graduate, she works at one of Valencia, Venezuela's top dental centers. Make a donation today via Zelle at gym@ayutaven.org and celebrate the rhythm of hope, purpose, and unity that connects us all together.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about sedentary death syndrome. New evidence and updated evidence that sitting is killing us. Inactivity is killing us. How exercise can help, though, is it can help the brain in trauma recovery. We talked a little bit about that before. That exercise can release dopamine, make us feel good, serotonin, help us sleep well, and that other thing that we talked about, BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like a protein-like fertilizer that's released in our brain to help in neuroplasticity, our brain growth, as well as protect neurons in our brain. Parents and children who exercise have reported doing better on memory tests and feeling happier.
Yeah, the feeling is...
The feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
With post-traumatic stress disorder, when you add exercise to the therapy, the outcomes are better and faster. So exercise has been shown to improve outcomes in trauma patients who are working on developing new paths and new patterns of behavior to help reduce anxiety and depression. So that was something that I thought was big, is if you look that up if you want. Look it up. Look up how exercise impacts the efficacy, the benefit, the efficiency, how quick or quicker or better someone feels who's working through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It to me, it seems like it's something that we want to do regularly, especially when it releases that dopamine and that serotonin. We do sleep better and we feel better. You have a good exercise, right?
I hear also interview some psychology and psychiatry say that in some mental health center right now is start to put equipment
for exercise.
That is something they start to establish in the mental health facility.
And it also brings you into the here and now. When you're exercising now and you're getting that balance, and you talked about Tai Chi and movements and how you're connecting your brain to your body, it strengthens your brain-body connection. It also builds your brain, and it brings you into the present. And the more present you are, the less you worry about the future and the less you dwell upon the past. You know, there's a lot of other things we have to worry about when we're overcoming trauma. However, it is shown that exercise has been a benefit in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Animal and human studies show regular movement boosts the BDNF, the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, as well as dopamine and serotonin production in the brain. These things help us feel better and heal faster. Not bad. We did talk about how exercise fights tumors for competing with sugar, competing for sugar, that our muscles compete with tumors for sugar. Exercise also boosts the immune system. I'm going to read this because it's very important. It slows cancer cell growth. So now doctors are studying it as extra help during chemotherapy. It's just not chemotherapy and feel better, but let's do exercise along with the chemotherapy. So imagine now you've got the muscles fighting with the cancer cells, the chemotherapy fighting with the cancer cells, as well as you're feeling a little bit more dopamine in your body, a little bit serotonin, maybe you'll sleep better, and then help protecting your brain neurons. All that seems like a good thing. So final takeaways for today. Mm-hmm. Movement is nature's medicine for multiple critical diseases. Natural. You're not looking at drugs. You're not looking at artificial treatments. You're not looking at just sit in bed and you'll get better. This is an active approach and also a preventative approach. Being active creates more likelihood that you will not have these issues. But also, if you are having these issues, like we talked about with like diabetes, is that if we are able to exercise, if we're able to get stronger and we're able to reduce our weight, we can actually reverse diabetes.
Yeah.
Yes. What else here is stand up. Oh, so we talk about stand up every 30 minutes. That's something that I told you, my watch is showing me. I'm like, now I get it. Now that I'm 60 years old, I finally understand. Standing up is good for you. Walk after meals, the 15-minute walk after meals, which reduces the blood sugar by 30%. It improves your blood in your system. We talked about the 30 minutes of walking, which reduces the chance of cardiovascular disease by 50%. So again, walking 30 minutes briskly daily reduces cardiovascular disease by as much as 50%. What else do we have? Dance or stretch during TV ads. Keep moving. We're human beings. We wouldn't be sitting watching TV all day if we were living in the jungle or if we're living on a farm. We would be doing active work.
Yeah.
Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Not 100 floors, but maybe 2 or 3. Do something. Play outside. Oh, again, children today expend 600 calories less per day than children 50 years ago. And children 50 years ago used to be in better shape. They used to also weigh less than children today.
Yeah.
They used to probably, not have all the foods with all the preservatives too. I'm sure there was a lot of junk around 50 years ago too. A lot of Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
There was McDonald's. I mean, there was this stuff, and I'm sorry to drop brand names, but I grew up as a kid. These are my own personal things that I remember in the house, in
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Yeah. Remember? It's sugar and some coloring. And I was not a big sugar. I didn't like sugary drinks as a kid. So I've told you that story about how I blacked out because I wouldn't drink sugary drinks. And I, what is that called when you have dehydrated? Dehydrated one day because there was nothing to drink outside at a Cub Scout event. And I got dehydrated and blacked out. So the point being is that sugary drinks, if it's the choice between a sugary drink and blacking out, I will suggest the sugary drink. But otherwise, I'd suggest the drink that isn't sugary. Sitting is the new smoking. Sitting, having a sedentary lifestyle, is a disease, a death disease. You're creating your own higher likelihood of suffering from a life-threatening disease by living a sedentary life. A sedentary life will contribute to a faster, shorter life. And one that's not as enjoyable, too, because you don't have that dopamine and that serotonin.
Yeah, it's not just also living long life, it's living quality life.
Quality life. Just remember, we talked about how the brain is stronger through exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that BDNF in our brain, right? Getting that serotonin in our brain, getting that dopamine in our brain. Those things help. Those things help. And I'll just tell you, I enjoy exercise. My wife enjoys exercise. We enjoy it together. And we hope you do too. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Have a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.